It's in the air. Maximum Threshold Radio, you're on the air.
Hello, is that Dominic Rennie?
Yeah, this is he.
Hello, it's Lawrence Gallen from Styx calling you.
Hey, man, how you doing?
I'm very well. I'm calling you 3 minutes late, so I apologize for that.
That's all right. I was just sitting here. I was just going through my emails. Always got to clean that box out.
All right. Yeah, I know.
So what's going on, man?
We played last night. We were in Louisville, Kentucky. It's a tremendous night of the Styx faithful showing their appreciation for the band. And we just played two in a row. We did that one, and we did Waukegan, Illinois, the night before. Mm-hmm. So it's those are our first shows in about 10 days. So it's amazing when we just take 10 days off. It's amazing how how enthusiastic everyone is to get back at it.
Do you feel like refreshed when you come back?
You do. You feel like you get just enough time to miss it, but not enough time to...
Hello there. I lost you there.
Yeah, I know. I don't know where we left off. I was gabbing away, and then I heard dead air on the other end.
I was I lost internet connection there for a second. So then I lost lost the feed. I'm like, oh, man. So I tried calling you back, and it didn't work. Yeah, so we started talking about feeling refreshed. And you said you come back that you don't have more than, it's not like you're gone too long to miss it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you're not gone so long that you're overly concerned that you've still got the songs under your fingers, mm-hmm. so to speak. You've still got your muscle memory still intact, but your enthusiasm has been piqued by that little break. Mm-hmm. And we get very few of those in the year. This year we're on course to play 101 shows.
Yeah.
Last year was 116. So there was an effort to actually cut back a little bit. And, just for the mere fact that people had things to attend to, away from the touring, regimen. And, but we were able to do that and still retain playing, over 100 shows a year, as we have done since my 18 years in the band.
Nice. Yeah, you still seem like you're the new guy in the band.
I'm going to hold that new guy mantle as long as I possibly can hang on to it. Yeah.
But you may be the new guy, but you still have more energy and enthusiasm, what it seems, when you're on stage than anybody else in the band.
I don't know about that. I look across the stage and I'm pretty entertained by everyone's performance. Mm-hmm. And you can never under-evaluate the amount of energy that Todd Sirkeman, our drummer, puts out on any given night. So I'm just responding to the energy that's coming from them and definitely to the wave of positive vibes that come from our audience.
I hear you. I know that you Styx has a history of bringing on orchestras in Cleveland, like kids would come on stage there with their little orchestra and do that. Are you still doing that?
We've done two full concerts with the. I think you're referring to the CYO, the Contemporary Youth
yes.
Orchestra. Mm-hmm. We did one in 2008 that. There was a DVD of that.
Yeah.
And recently we did more work with them, but we've also been playing, we've done a number of shows over the last 2 years with the Nashville Symphony Orchestra. It was really great. And then I think the big highlight this year was we did Red Rocks in Colorado with the Colorado Symphony Orchestra. And that was really, if people know that venue of Red Rocks, it sits about a mile or two or something up above Denver, and you're looking down on the rest of humanity from this from this incredible vantage point where you're this natural amphitheater that exists there in Colorado, and to play that show with that orchestra,
it had to be phenomenal.
What a memorable night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember Red Rock. Whenever I think of Red Rock, I think about back in the 80s when U2 did the big show there, and that's brought
venue.
The spotlight.
Yep.
And so that always sticks in my head. I think about that.
Yeah, they did the video for Pride, mm-hmm. In the Name of Love. That's that was done there. Yeah, that's right. It is done. Yeah, what a fantastic place. I mean, and it dates back, you know, when you walk the halls there, when you get in there, and the halls are made out of, you know, natural rock that's just been excavated. But you see the Beatles playing there in 1964, and, you know, in the same setting. And you really feel like you're in this, you know, unique spot on planet Earth where, mm-hmm. where all these great concerts have taken place. And who knows what happened in those spots long before our existence on the planet. So it's a great, you know, timeless place to do something of that nature.
Mm-hmm. How was the reception of the orchestra DVD that you put out? How receptive was that? I know I've seen it like on our public broadcasting station out here numerous times, and that was great.
I know this. The last time we heard an update on it, I know it's been broadcast over a couple of hundred times, mm-hmm. on public television, so it was very popular. And connected with all kinds of audiences, you know, and I attribute a lot of that to the exuberance of that, of those players. I mean, you've seen it, Dominic, just the way they threw themselves into the show as if they're all parts of the, you know, extended part of the band, mm-hmm. rather than just hired players who were you know, enhancing what was already there. They really put themselves fully in there, you know, physically, emotionally, in every way. And we asked them to do that, and they were ready to throw down, as they say. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think that DVD and then why that concert has become so popular for years now.
I was going to go to that one. It was in the one at Blossom. I think that's where one of them was recorded at.
That's correct.
And I wanted to go I couldn't get tickets to that one. And I really regretted not being able to get to that one. So I was really looking forward to that.
Really great venue as well. Yeah. You know, another, you know, great venue in the country is the Blossom Amphitheater. And yes, we've played there since then, but it's mm-hmm. hard to, we'll never forget that, that amazing night with, you know, 75 piece orchestra and 100 piece choir on stage. that was very, very notable evening.
Was it when meeting with those kids that did that? Was any of them like they absolutely had no clue who you were? They just figured, this is just some band that we got to play music with.
Well, funny enough, we were anticipating that, but mm-hmm. no, that was not the case.
That's cool.
They all seemed to be very familiar with, you know, they knew who they were performing with, and they had a knowledge of classic rock. Mm-hmm. That went well beyond, you know, what our, you know, normal expectations were. But since that time, we've come to really understand and obviously notice that people who weren't even born at the time of some of the biggest classic rock records made, they now number, you know, some of the most devoted audiences to that music. And I can only attribute that to, you know, a multitude of factors. You know, radio has continued to play classic rock. You know, it's obviously the giant musical statement of the last half of the 20th century. Now, mm-hmm. that's the undisputed champion of that that department. And I think just the world that they've grown up in with the internet giving them instant access to being able to check out, you know, what Led Zeppelin was like, or what the Beatles were like, or what, you know, all these bands, and you know, they've heard of Styx. There's all kinds of cultural references mm-hmm. through television and movies and all kinds of things. And they check it out. And the next thing you know, they come to a concert and they become just as devoted to it as we did when we were growing up.
Nice.
You know?
Yeah.
And although we were surprised with that at first, we're less surprised with it now because, as I say, the music has stood the test of time, and the band still performs on such a high energy and level, and delivers a rock show that's of the caliber that really, you know, sticks with people.
I gotcha.
No pun intended.
Oh, I understand. I think one of the key things for something like that is probably the dedication from the instructor to really push the mindset of, hey, this is your roots of your music. This is what you need to learn if you're going to know where your music is going today. You got to learn from the past.
You're absolutely right. That we were very fortunate in that instance to have conductor Liza Grossman, who, by the way, has done all our other shows since then. For that very reason, she really she has an integral, seamless understanding and emotional connection to the classical side as much as the rock side, and is able to bridge that mindset in such a way as we love working with her ever since that night.
Mm-hmm. Now, is there any other plans of doing anything else with the orchestra down the road, or is that it?
Well, I haven't looked at my itinerary yet for next year, but mm-hmm. I know there's about half the year's already gone. I'm sure there will be though, mm-hmm. Because those shows are so they just stay with people for such a long time. I mean, the mere fact that you're bringing this up and that you've that it stayed in your mind with all the shows that we've done. These mm-hmm. orchestral ones seem to be very special and very. Each one is unique and has its own, its own vibe, because there's just so many people involved in pulling it off. It's such a production that they really do stay with people.
Yeah, there's nothing like a Styx concert. If you catch it either way, orchestra or just straight up, you guys out there on the stage, man, it is something that when you go to see a Styx show, you get that feeling of like, hey, I remember when this came out, I found an 8-track in a thrift store and I tried it out and I've been stuck on it ever since. So this is and it gives you like those chills that you get.
Well, that's great to hear. That's it's a band with such a phenomenal legacy, mm-hmm. and I still very much appreciate being part of it, and the appreciation of every member of the band, I can tell you, is deepens with every year. The feeling of, it's almost like a feeling of privilege, to be part of such a great endeavor, mm-hmm. that really is, and to my mind, it's funny, because it's existed for so many decades. We really are the culmination of the efforts of everyone who's ever been in the band, and what evolved out of each era, and how the band found ways to extend its life and continue on despite anything that may have been a roadblock.
Mm-hmm. Are there any talks with the other guys about working on new material?
It's funny. That's a question we're asked fairly often. And for us, it's I wish you could see it from the inside. We have lots of new material. And we do sound checks often where we do nothing but play one or two new things. And we've even, over the years, we've done, stopped and start recording things. And I think at some point, and I can't say when, nothing imminent, but mm-hmm. At some point we're going to release, the things that we've worked on and have the time to finish them up and put them in a context that really makes sense. In the meantime, there's just such an overwhelming demand for the band to play, around the world that there are just only so many days in the year, and
so many songs
we really derive so much enjoyment and so much fulfillment from keeping on the concert live tours that we're doing, because after all, this it really is the only thing that you cannot download is the impact of live show, as you've described it yourself. So we will find a time to put out new material. I just can't say when.
Do you do any special like VIP shows? Or before you go live, would you like acoustic set or anything like that for people?
We haven't done that in quite a while. Mm-hmm. We used to do that fairly regularly, but no, we have not in quite a while had a chance to do anything like that. I'm trying to think of the last time. I think we did. No, my memory is being taxed as to the last time we actually pulled that off. That could arise again mm-hmm. at any moment.
I hear you. Yeah, you're coming to Cleveland area, Northfield, the rock Hard Rock Roxino on Tuesday, I think it is the 15th. And that show, it's sold out. How's that feel to know that you guys could still pack houses like that and, you know, 1,000 seats, you know, still doing it after all these years?
Well, you know, it's rare that we don't have a sold out show, you know, and if we don't, it's usually, you know, the very last 12 seats or something that might still be available. And that's kind of a surprise. So, but for us, it's, like me referring to the last two nights that we just played, it's the same thing. When we see that, you know, when we see the hall full of people and we end the day with, you know, looking at a few thousand smiling faces, it feels like a great way to, it's a great way to end your day. You know, I recommend it for anyone. and it's a shared experience. You know, we really, you know, derive such great, you know, pleasure from this bonding with an audience night after night and with music at the center of that. That's just a great fulfilling thing. And rock music just has that impact on people. It did on me when I was growing up. So I'm not overly surprised, although I'm you know, grateful for the experience, but I'm not overly surprised that it still has this ability to connect with people on such a profound level.
Mm-hmm. So what plans do you have with the band for 2017 that you know offhand?
Well, what I know offhand is that we're going to be playing a lot.
Yeah.
I know that we have a very interesting week coming up in January. We're doing kind of an extended run in Las Vegas at the Venetian Hotel, us and Styx and Don Felder of the Eagles.
Awesome.
So that's going to be, we've toured with Don in the past. Yeah. That is an amazingly, hit packed night when there's 10 or 11, you know, Eagles songs mixed in with all of the couple of hours of Styx stuff. It's a great combination.
Gotcha. Just a couple more things here. We'll let you get going. How can people get a hold of your music? Like the back catalog and anything that you have, any special like merch that you guys are pushing?
You know, if you go to styxworld.com, you know, there's Facebook sites and websites and all that sort of thing, but styxworld.com, you can find the pathways and the avenues to access all of those things, records and t-shirts and hats and buttons and whatever else people are looking for, or simply, you know, obviously you can go to iTunes and get the music there. There's also been reissues of vinyl records that the band's done, and you know, there are more and more vinyl stores popping up everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I mean, I've seen big vinyl sections in Urban Outfitters, so there really is plenty of ways that people can access the music and get to it in easy ways or more difficult ways if you've got the if you're willing to do the search for things like vinyl or, you know, vintage things as well.
Mm-hmm. What is your favorite song to play live?
That is a moving target, Dominic. Mm-hmm. I mean, it changes night to night. Yeah. I would say that overall, if I'm pressed to answer that, I'd say that we always play Renegade towards the end of the night, and that's not one that I have to sing lead on. That's Tommy's song, but I always feel there's a great moment there where I can take stock of the kind of emotional arc that any audience has crossed over the course of an evening. And, mm-hmm. and it's remarkable to me if whether we're playing in Japan or America or Sweden or England or Canada, which is where I'm from, it's amazing how audiences differ at the beginning of a night and how alike they are by the end of the night. And so by the time we play Renegade, I'm able to really observe that. And that's really where I drink in the experience and try to retain as much of it as possible and use that as the impetus or the inspiration to do it again the next night.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Yeah, you would think like when you do watch a Styx show, you do see a build up from beginning all the way to the end, and it's just like it's just like a wave, and that's nice, and especially like Renegade, man, that is a powerful song, and it's got some great vocals, and it's like the complete package of a song. So I could see where you're coming from on that.
Yeah, it really is the top of the crescendo of the whole night, as you just described it, and it's you know, so it really hits it hits all bases. You know?
Let's see here. Can you do us a quick favor?
Yeah.
Can you do a promo ID for our radio show? Just say your name, the band you're with, listen to Maximum Threshold, and throw something crazy out at the end of it, and don't put no thought into that.
Okay.
It's the best part of it.
All right. And should I put your name in there?
Oh, you can if you like to.
And do you pronounce your last name Rinny?
You can just say Dominic or Dom.
Dominic. Okay. Yeah. Hi, everyone. This is Lawrence Gowan from Styx, and you are listening to Dominic on Maximum Threshold. So get yourself Styxified. It's the best way to live.
Perfect. Like that. That was a good one.
All right.
Hey, man, I really thank you very much. And sounds good.
Okay, Dominic.
I thank you very much again for taking time on a Saturday afternoon to talk to me. I really appreciate that.
Pleasure to talk to you. Okay, man. Nice to talk to you.
Have a good one.
All the best.
Okay, you too.
Cheers now.
You too.
Oh, mama, I'm in fear for my life from the long arm of the law. Lawman is putting an end to my running, and I'm so far from my home. Oh, mama, I can hear you a-crying, you're so scared and all alone. Hangman is coming down from